Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The Old Testament book of Exodus and chapter number 20. The Old Testament book of Exodus and chapter number 20. And we find in Exodus chapter 20 what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. We're in a series of the Ten Commandments. In the last 2 weeks, we've taken time to talk about some preparatory things, talking about the importance of the law and the dealings of the law within us as New Testament Christians. We as New Testament Christians understand that the law was used to, as a schoolmaster, to show our need of Jesus Christ. And that if you would put the Ten Commandments, it would be appropriate in big boxcar letters, big bold boxcar letters, to write the words, "I need Jesus." That as we read the Ten Commandments, that should be the overwhelming theme that we understand. I need Jesus. And that the law is our schoolmaster. We also understand that we're not supposed to throw away the law, but when the law is completed, what it does is it is a light. It helps lead people to the Lord. It helps show them that. But the true glorious light is Jesus Christ. That the Bible is light of itself, but it all points to Jesus Christ and whom He is. And as we find our way to the book of Exodus in chapter number 20, notice with me in the book of Exodus chapter 20, it starts off with this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you could forgive me for the moment, notice the phrase, I am the Lord thy God. Before each one of these Ten Commandments, this is the phrase that should be understood and read, that it is God that gives the credence, God that gives the understanding. So as we read this passage before each one of the Ten Commandments, I'm going to read that phrase, I am the Lord thy God, and continue on. If you don't mind, I'm going to start at the beginning now, verse number 1, Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. I am the Lord thy God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it shalt thou not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you're in the habit of marking things, notice what we call the first commandment that we find in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And with the Lord's help, we're going to examine this first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods. With the Lord's help, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we now hit the Ten Commandments proper, as we examine each one of these ten laws that you personally gave and that you gave to show us our need of Jesus Christ, help us to have an understanding, not only what do they say, but have an understanding of who you are because of it. Lord, as we come to show who you are and fall more in love with you, I recognize my own inadequacies, my own failings, that I cannot. So again, please fill me with your precious Spirit, that you fill me, you control me, you work, that you would get your own work accomplished, and that people's lives would change because of an understanding of who you are. Please get your own work accomplished through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Once again, as we come to the Ten Commandments, we see that this is an important event, important thing that has happened, and that this Old Testament law, which was given in Exodus chapter number 20, was something that dominated the lives of the Jewish people even to this day. And that not only did it affect the Jewish people's lives, but it also set a standard for us as believers who call ourselves Christians to understand not only what does God want us to do, but also as a reflection of the character of who God is. And as we examine this and we put our attention on the first commandment, there's a couple things that I want you to see. First of all, I'd like to present to you the person of this commandment. The person of this commandment. As we notice in verse number 1, before we actually hit the actual commandment, notice what it says. And God spake all these words, saying. So we understand, if we're going to understand context, who is speaking? God is speaking. This is what God says himself. It's not spoken through a preacher. It's not written through a message. This is what God is saying himself. This is God's commandments. This is something that God himself has decreed. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Now, earlier this year, we went through a message on the names of God. If you wouldn't mind, notice in verse number 2 and notice the names of God that is put in there. First of all, he starts as I am. Remember, we saw that phrase and the Jewish people understood that when Moses stood before the burning bush and he said, "Who? What's your name that I tell people?" God said, "I am. Tell them that I am have sent you." That the idea that God is saying I am, the word I am, the name of God I am, is the self-sufficient God. The God that does not need anything from you or need anything from me. He is the God who doesn't need gas. He doesn't need fuel. He doesn't need parts. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He is sufficient of himself. Which brings into the personal name of God, the where it says the Lord. Notice the name Lord, L-O-R-D, is in capital letters. This is to refer to the personal name of God, Jehovah, which is God's personal name. It deals with the self-sufficient one, but we can know God personally. And he's saying, it is me, the Lord, Jehovah, thy God. Thy God is the name of God, Elohim, which is the proper name of God. It's his official title. And says, I want to remind you who I am. I am the self-sufficient one. I am the Jehovah, the Elohim, the official God. I am the one and true living God. The God who doesn't need anything else from you. The God who doesn't need existence. I exist of myself. It is me who is speaking. He is putting qualifiers. He's saying, you want to know, before I tell you these commandments, let me know, tell you who I am. I am God, the only true and living God. You know, that's some powerful authority. You know, if you remember growing up and little kids, maybe brothers and sisters, and they'll come and say, you know what, clean your room. And you know what the other sibling does? Yeah. Who are you? Go away. Get out of my room. But then they add the qualifier, but mom says, but dad says. Well, you see, that has a little bit more authority behind it. You see, they're not saying of themselves. It matters the authority that delivers that statement. As we deliver the Ten Commandments, these Ten Commandments don't come from your pastor. These Ten Commandments don't come from Moses. It is God, the true and living God, the God who created the heavens and the universe. It is the God who is the self-sufficient one, the personal God who saved you and me if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. It is this God who delivers us these commandments. It's a little bit harder to argue with God to obey them or not when it is God that delivers it. Someone else, you might argue, well, do I really have to stop lying? Do I really have to, you know, and name whatever it is? But it's harder when it is God himself that says, don't do this. So we see the person of it. It is God that is delivering these commandments. And then we understand, as it goes on, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the first commandment. He's trying to say, I want you to recognize not only who I am, but that I am the only God. That's it. He starts off by announcing who I am. He says, I don't want you to have any confusion. I don't want you to guess which God you're talking about. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Jehovah Elohim. I am the Lord thy God. And I want to tell you, have no other gods before me. I am the only God you need to consider. I am the only God of your life. I am the only God. There should be no other gods. By the way, who is speaking? It's the only God there is, the true and living God. Now, we understand that God is the creator of the universe and that everyone has a light of who God is. And people choose to obey this light or to disobey this light. If you don't mind, hold your finger here. We're going to return back here. But look with me in the book of Romans in chapter number 1. The book of Romans in chapter number 1. And the book of Romans explains what happens when people have a introduction to who God is, but they reject who God is. The book of Romans, chapter number 1, we have listed what happens when someone who knows who God is, but they say, I don't want to believe in him. I don't want to acknowledge him as being God. He's not my God. I want to do my own thing. What happens to a person when they follow in that steps? Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says this. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So here it's starting off by saying the wrath of God is revealed to those of all ungodliness. By the way, what is ungodly? Anything that God says don't do. What is unrighteousness? Anytime you're not right, anything you disobey God. Who hold the truth, that's the Bible, the revelation of who God is, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Notice this, so that they are without excuse. Do you know that every single person who lives in the world has two lights? They have the light of conscience and the light of creation. Inside of each and every man, each and every woman, each and every person who ever existed, there is a conscience that gives us an innate sense of right and wrong. People know that it's not right to kill people. They actually know it's not right to steal and things. Things will override that. We're sinners by nature, but we know that there's a certain thing that's not right to do and not wrong to do. In addition, every person in the world has the light of creation. That when you wake up and you see a beautiful sunrise, you have to say, man, someone had to make this. There has to be a God. When you see a brand new baby who's been born, you have to say, there has to be a God. There's so many evidences that there was a creator God. And man has to either accept this light or reject this light. But God has revealed himself that there is a God to every man. Not just to those who are in America, but to Africa, to China, to Australia, to Europe. Anywhere God has revealed to every person, there is a God. And people have to respond to that information. Do they respond and accept that God is God, or do they reject it? Notice as it goes on and see what the Bible says in verse 21. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, that means everyone knew who God is, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. By the way, that's where all ungodliness will start, when you're not thankful. That's why we encourage people to be thankful. The Bible says to be thankful in all things. Because as soon as we're not thankful about who God is and what he's done for us, we start to walk away from him. Neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Here we have the light of God. God has given the light to every man of creation and conscience. And man has to either obey that light or disobey the light. So here's the principle. Light obeyed produces more light. Light disobeyed produces more darkness. Let's say that we have a flashlight. A flashlight doesn't show us 5 miles ahead. It shows us the next step. And so God will show us what the next step is. And we either obey that step or we disobey it. If we have a row of lights that are leading our path and we take the next step, we have light to go to the next step. But any time that we disobey that light, we reject it and say we're going to do our own thing, we take a step off the path, which leads more into darkness. Now, when you take your first step off the path, you still have enough light to see. Then you take another one, it gets a little bit darker, until you take enough steps, and then you are in complete darkness. When you take enough steps away from what God has revealed to him about who he is and what God desires for us, what happens is that our life and behavior begins to change. Notice verse 22. So their heart is darkened and they profess themselves to be wise. They become fools. I know what I'm doing. I can do whatever I want. And they become fools. That's not the way they should go. Verse 23, and they change the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image likened to corruptible man. Do you know what people have to do with God? They have to change how they see God. You see, if you see God as the true creator of the universe, the God of all power that you're going to stand before one day and give an account, there's only certain ways that you could behave. But if you can make God into a little statue, or if you can make God into a necklace, or you can make God into an image of an animal, or you can make God look like a little baby, or make God look like something else, there's no reason for you to fear him or respect him or to reverence him. And so people will change God and push him into a little box where they no longer have to be afraid of him, reverence him, to honor him. Maybe I could give an example. Every once in a while, there's some things that could drive me nuts. Some of them are t-shirts. Like I saw one of Reese's Pieces, but instead of having Reese's Pieces logo, it had JC is my friend, and it said something about that. Well, they're talking about Jesus Christ. Yo, JC and I are hanging out buds. This is the God of the universe that we're speaking about. But they try to bring him down in a level. Well, if Jesus and I are buds, then he's not higher than me. He's level with me. And I could accept or reject his advice whenever I want. You see, that's a problem. And people are trying to change who God is. We'll get more into that in the second commandment. But people have to do something with who God is. Verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed for them. Now God says, all right, fine, if you want to do your own thing, that's fine. But people have to reject who God is. Notice this progression, that it starts with idolatry and moves to immorality. It starts with changing who God is before it changes to immorality, before we start dishonoring our bodies and start going to other sins. This is a big deal. Verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it goes on and gives a list. But notice this principle that it gives, that you have to recognize who God is or you reject who He is. It all begins with that first commandment. Who is God in your life? You see, either God is God or God is not God. If you decide you want to live for your own pleasure, your own thing, then you are God. And God is not God. This first commandment deals with so many issues, and it all begins with the first question: who is God? That's a good question. Who is God to you? Now, God doesn't change. He's God whether you accept Him as God or not. But if you accept who God is, it affects how you live. It affects how you behave. It affects what you say. It affects where you go. It affects everything. But if God is not God, and there is no rules, and you're your own boss, you do whatever you want, not worrying about the consequences. Isn't that where our world is today? Is that the people have given up on God, and they don't accept who God is, and they live their lives however they want, worshiping the creature more than the Creator. You see, this first commandment is the key commandment. Which brings me to the second thing I want to show you, going back to the book of Exodus and chapter 20. Until we see who God is, the rest of these commandments are just a list of suggestions. Until we see who God is, the rest of the Bible is just a storybook, a mythology. You see, it all begins with God. It all begins with how we see God. Now, again, I can't emphasize this enough. Even if you don't see God as God, He's still God. Him being God isn't dependent on how you see Him. It just depends on how you're going to react to Him and behave to Him. The second thing I'd like to show you is not only the person of this commandment, but the place of this commandment. The place of this commandment. Notice it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't break any of the other commandments until you break this commandment. Because if you see God as God, and you're looking at Him, you'll obey Him. But as soon as you don't recognize God as God, you could break the rest of the commandments because they have no power, no sway over you. This is why we say in verse number 2, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That's why when I read the Ten Commandments and how we're going to continue to read the Ten Commandments through this series, is before each one of these commandments, we have the qualifier, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, this is the qualifier. The place of this commandment is that you cannot break any of the other commandments until you first break this one. Because it all begins with God. You must reject who God is in order for you to sin. Let me give an example. Let's say that you got in trouble. You're standing before your principal. You're standing before your boss. You're standing before your parent. And inside of your little computer, you start saying, should I tell a lie and get out of trouble or not? Before you can tell that lie, you also have to push God out of your mind and say, God's not listening, God's not going to... You have to put him out of your mind. You are rejecting who God is in order for you to purposely tell that lie. Before you can steal someone's things, let's just say that kids, you decide you're going to rob your parents. You're going to steal from them. You're going to go into mom's purse. It's right there. She's sleeping. Let me go into there. You know, before you could take money from your mom's purse or from your dad's wallet, you have to first reject who God is and say that God's not watching, God's not there. Because if you thought in just 1 second, 1 moment it crossed your mind, God is watching me steal and he doesn't want me to do it, you probably won't. You have to push God out of your mind in order to steal. Kids, when it says to honor thy father and mother, before you can get the bravery and the courage to sass back to mom, you first of all have to reject who God is or push him out of your mind in order to disrespect your parents. You see, before you could break any of the other commandments, you first break this commandment of who God is. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You cannot break any other commandments before this. Notice the phrase of this in verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sometimes people try to explain it like this. They say, don't have any other gods before me, ahead me, under me, whatever else. Don't have any other gods. You know, I know your little pet hobby that you love. It's all right. It's just as long as God's still the head God. But that's not what this phrase says. This word before carries the idea in my sight. So let's say it this way. Thou shalt have no other gods in my sight. This means you shall have no other gods whatsoever. Some people have their jobs as a little god, sometimes as a big god. God says you shall have no other gods. Some people make their children and their family little g gods, sometimes big gods. But God says you shall have no other god before me. Some people say, well, my video game, my entertainment, my hobby, all, as long as God still gets first place, I can make this as much of a god as I want. They may not say it that way, but it still becomes that. And we're going to explain how do you examine the other gods in our life. God doesn't want any other gods in our life. He will share glory with no one. There is only one and true and living God. So the place of this commandment is before everything else. And there is only one God. And God doesn't want any other gods in your life whatsoever. Period. Underscore. Which brings me to the third thing I'd like to show you. We explained the person of this commandment. The place of this commandment. Now we come to the purpose of this commandment. Why did God bother writing, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Well, again, the whole purpose of the Bible is one thing, to reveal who God is. Do you know why God gave the commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before us? Because he wants to teach us that there is only one God. That's what we learn about God from here. There is only one God. That's a comforting thought that there's only one God and we found him. It is the true and living God. Hold your finger here. Turn back with me to the book of Romans and chapter number 3. Romans in chapter number 3. The book of Romans is a great book that takes the law and tries to show its purpose and what it does. Romans in chapter number 3. And notice with me in verse number 9. Romans chapter 3 in verse number 9. Start there if you don't mind. Romans 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Do you know that's a true statement? You did not seek after God and your own. You didn't want God in your life when you wanted to do what you wanted. You know what you had to be convinced of? That you were a sinner. And because of your sin, you owed God a punishment. You had to be convinced of it. And what makes sin? Because God said it was wrong. You know the only thing that makes anything wrong is because God said it was wrong. And God's the one who said it was wrong. For there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an empty sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of aspers under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are quick. Are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace, they have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see all of this? Where does this sin come from? It's because we reject who God is. And because we reject who God is, there was none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. Verse number 19. Now we know that things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the law does? The law tells us that we are wrong. All of us are. It tells us that there is a true and living God that we have to answer before, and we are guilty before them. We have all violated his commandments. That's what the law tells us. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, for the law is the knowledge of sin. You know what the Ten Commandments do? They tell us that we're sinners. Someone could say, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Oh yeah? I'm sorry to say, have you ever sinned? Well yeah, everyone has. Well, then you are guilty under the law. There is none righteous, no, not one. The law and who God is tells, because it is God that says, don't lie. Because it was God that said it and we lied, we violated his law, we are guilty. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which was by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The purpose of this commandment, thou shalt have no other gods, is to teach us that there's one God and we have sinned and come short of this God. In fact, because of we broke the law, for the wages of sin is death. You and I, dear friend, because we've broken God's law, we deserve to die. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for us. And that if we personally accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he's willing to forgive us of all of our sins. That's the good news. But the law brings us to this place. As long as someone says, I am good enough to go to heaven, then Jesus didn't have to die for them. Jesus dying on the cross doesn't matter to them. It is only when they realize that they are guilty, and because they're guilty, they've offended a holy, righteous God, but Jesus died for them, and they personally accept Jesus to pay their punishment, can they be saved? This is what God has given to us. He has given us this law. He's given us this commandment to show us we need Jesus. I need Jesus. Maybe I could take a little side trip, a rabbit trail. I usually don't do that. Turn me to one other passage really quick. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. In dealing with the first commandment, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that you cannot break any of the other commandments till you first break this commandment. But if you don't mind, may I show you what the Bible says, a little bit more to add some color to flavor on this commandment. 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. And notice with me verse 23. Samuel is speaking, and he's speaking to Saul because Saul has messed up and tried to do his own thing. I want you to notice the language of Scripture. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Children, look at me. Whenever you say, Mom, I don't care. I want to do whatever I want. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know what witchcraft does? It uses a power that comes from something else other than God. It is rejecting who God is, that He is the God of all power, of all might. You know what you do when you rebel and say, Mom told me to clean my room, but I'm not going to do it. You know what you've determined? You've determined that you are your own God. That is a dangerous thing. When you desire your own way, you are saying you are God and no one else. Notice as the Bible continues on in verse number 23, for the rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. He's speaking to Saul there. But you know, whenever you decide, some people think stubbornness is a good quality. It is not. Not when you're rebelling and stubborn and pulling back against what you're supposed to do. You know, what is stubbornness? You remember a mule or a horse, and you're trying to pull it, and it's putting back and it's pulling back as you're trying to pull. You know, sometimes that's what it's like when God's saying, come here, and you're pulling back. No, I'm not going to do it. I want my own way. When you're being stubborn and you're pulling back, God says you have committed the sin of idolatry. That is putting someone else as God. That's putting yourself as God. You have made yourself, dear friend, an idol. You are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. When you choose rebellion and your own way. I don't care what Mom says. I don't care what my boss says. I don't care what the teacher says. I don't care what the pastor says. I want to do my own thing. Some kids think one day they're going to grow up and be their own boss. You're always going to have a boss. There's never going to be a time where you don't have a boss. Sorry, it's not going to happen. But more importantly, God is always going to be God. And you have to choose who is going to be God in your life. God or you. So let's make it a little bit more practical. How can we determine if there are other gods in our life? Remember, God says, I don't want any gods in my sight. I don't want a God here and then put me front. God says, I don't want any other gods. So how can we determine if there's other gods in our life? Here's four things, four practical things. How do we discern whether there's gods in our life? First of all, can we do without it? Can we do without it? I can't live without my soaps. I have to watch it. Can you do without it? Man, I just can't live as long as I don't have a soda every day. Can you live without it? I know some people who cannot live without a soda every day. I know some people can't live without chocolate every day. I know some people can't live without their video games every day. I know some people who cannot live without their work every day. Can you live without it? Number two, what's another way that we can determine whether there's a God in our life? Has it begun to rule us? Has it begun to rule us? I know some people, I know lots of people, unfortunately, that their video game calls them. They can't help it. Their video game says, play me, and they say, yes, I'll come to you. It may not be an audible voice, but it is just as clear as a command. Maybe it's your favorite hobby. You have to come to me. Maybe it's gardening or something. Gardening's not bad, but if you make it an idol, it's very bad. Come to me. You have to do it. You have to go. You have to go. And it rules you. I mean, you have to obey it. It is your master. And whatever it needs, you have to go supply it. You will serve it. You will put things down at its altar. You will make sure that it lives. I knew a lady who had her dog that way. I mean, whatever that dog needed, I mean, above and beyond. You know, you might as well have the golden basket with the fluffy pillows. That dog was eating better than most of the people I knew. I mean, praise the Lord, you take care of your dog, but, you know, if it's eating better than the rest of the family, there's probably a problem there? You know, we understand, we may joke, but you know, we could examine our own lives. Has it begun to rule us? I knew a person who was addicted to professional wrestling. And as long as it was on TV, they could not do anything else. I have to go home and watch it. I have to go home and watch it. You know, it didn't matter if it was hanging out with friends, if it was a party or whatever else. I mean, I got to be, it comes on in a couple minutes. It's going to come on in a couple minutes. Maybe it's not wrestling, but is it something else that, man, I just got to go. I'm going to miss it. I got to go, got to go, got to go. I've seen people like that. You know, has it begun to rule you? Number three, does it stir us to urgency? Does it stir us to urgency? You know, there are some people who are naturally do 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 and naturally slow, but when that God calls, all of a sudden they move. They're fast. That whatever it takes. If what stirs you up, what is it that can get you to move and to work and to go? I've seen some parents whose kids, they have a need. I meant just at the beginning of a need. Oh, and they drop everything immediately. I meant just go, quit their job and go take it, come back and just to take care of it when it could have waited for a couple days, you know, but meant, stir you to urgency. What is it? Think about in your life. What is it that makes you go? What is it that makes you move faster than everything else, that, man, you'll take care of it, you'll go, you'll meet that need, you'll make sure that it has what it needs, and you will drop everything for that. Here's a fourth question. Is it for me, or is it for the Lord? What is your motive behind it? Is it for me, or is it for the Lord? You know, could you justify spending $20,000 on a dog bed and say, I'm doing it for the Lord? I mean, are you doing it for Him? Can you really honestly say, Lord, I'm doing this because I want to be pleasing to You? We should. Why do we come to church? I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to do it because I'm thankful for Him. Why do I work my job? I work my job because I want to be a good testimony and I want to provide for my family. I want to do it to be pleasing to Him. Why am I raising my kids? Because I want them to be serve God. I want them to be used of God. Why do I play that video game? We understand. What is it that God... And I'm not preaching against entertainment. It's not things that are a problem. It's when things have us that it becomes a problem. We have to watch out because we like gods. We like something ruling over us. As much as we have the Americanism, I don't want anyone telling me what to do, we are very quick to find something to tell us what to do. We are very quick to find other gods who are going to tell us what to do in our life. So it's not a matter of whether you reject God completely. The idea is, who is your God? Who is it that you answer to? Who is it that you serve? Who is it that you put your time and effort? Who puts that urgency into you? Who is your God? You're going to have a God. The point of this thing, that there should be no other gods before me. Who is your God? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.